Right, what we're going to do today is we're going to be using the Lord's Prayer as our footprint, our blueprint on how to pray for an hour. That's not an hour in one slot, but that's to enable through the day and in one sense not repeat your prayers but pray strategically through everything that is needful for you, for your life, for your family, and even for the nation, etc. So this will be a guide, a tool to help you begin to pray in a constructive way. Because so often people say, well, I don't know what to pray. True?
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know. Yeah. And you know what we've said about prayer? Prayer basically is just simply conversation with God. Like I said earlier on, Terry, you know, he's in hospital at the moment. We're going to put a catheter in him. He's panicking. He doesn't want one. He's had it before and it's painful. And it's like, no chance. Give me a few minutes. And we close the door on him. And we'll say, God, do something about this. And then within 5 minutes, he's suddenly running to the toilet. And so that was a quick prayer. And, you know, you might say, well, that's not a very godly prayer, is it? But it's faith. It's faith. This is what it's about. And praying in faith, praying by faith, and with the anticipation that God hears and answers our prayer. And that's the thing we've got to come to, where we realise that God is listening. God will do something about it. Sometimes we want it instant. Well, God does not always work instant. Sometimes there is a process going on, and God is lining things up for everything to come in place for you to be blessed and to recover what you need in Jesus' name. So as we work through this booklet, which I put together using some of the other people's notes, a lot of it comes from a Larry Lee, who really wrote on this subject and revolutionized his church and the prayer life in the church. So all I've done is taken a lot of his stuff, added to it, and took things out just to try to condense it as well. And then what we've got in this booklet, you will find on page 25, is what you might term the running track, 6 times around the Lord's Prayer, through the Lord's Prayer, breaking it up into 6 sections, and it just teaches us on things to pray for. So that we'll look at later. Obviously, we get further through, but it's there in the back, so everything's there for you. So this little booklet will be yours to keep and to use. And historically, as a church, we've used to meet at 6 o'clock in the morning. And we used to gather for 1 hour of prayer, and we used this format and pattern for a long time of just enabling us to keep us focused, keep us praying, not repeating yourself in the sense, but actually moving forward with your prayer life, moving forward in what you're praying for, because you've got something to target, something to aim for, and then when you pray that, you move on to the next thing. So, but all that will come clearer over the next few weeks, alright? So, don't panic in any way. So, lesson one for us. As I say, it's broken up into using the Lord's Prayer in sort of 6 sections. So, lesson one, we need to hear God's voice. Who agrees on that? We need to hear God's voice. And I know some of you might say, well, I'm not sure if I'm really hearing God's voice. Speak about Robert Kidd says, I'm not sure I've ever heard God speak to me. Well, I think within a couple of weeks, God spoke to him. Now, it's making people aware, I'm going to digress a little, but it's making people aware that actually God is your Father, and Father wants to talk to his children. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we have to realise that just because God is out there somewhere, and God is the person that individuals created all things, he's created the universe, he must have a lot on his mind, he must have a lot to be doing, Why should he be bothered about talking to just me, who's got my problem, and it's all the problems of the world, but it is. And we said, you know, even in scripture tells us he knows the very hairs that are upon your head. He's like, wow, I've got a shower this morning and lost one or two, so they've all been counted. You know, so this is an amazing, it talks about when the sparrow falls to the ground, God knows. So in other words, you are important, you are precious and important. So God hears your voice, and it's about you learning to hear his voice. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice.
Amen.
So, you know, here is Jesus, the Son of God, turning around and saying to his disciples, his followers, and to the spiritual leaders, that the real followers of God will hear the voice of God. Wow. So, one day, soon, you'll hear the voice of God speaking to you. Wow. What happened? It's, your faith is growing, your experience is growing, and all we're trying to do is tune you in.
Yeah.
Tune in. Tune out the peripheral things and tune you into hearing God, knowing that God wants to talk to you because he loves you. And I can take it right back, and this is what you have to learn to do. You have to take it back, right as far back to the beginning of the Bible as possible, and say, is what Andrew is saying, is it true? And so you go straight into Genesis. Genesis 3, I think it is, it starts where God comes into the cool of the garden on an evening time to talk with Adam and Eve. So, hey, guess what? There's my proof. Right at the beginning of time, God made Adam and Eve so he could communicate with them and have fellowship with them, and they him with them and they with him, basically. So, nothing's changed. Sin came into the world. Yeah, that's what changed the relationship, but through Christ Jesus, that has now been reversed. The curse has been reversed.
Yeah.
The curse of sin that separated us from God through Christ Jesus has been reversed, and now it's relationship orientated, faith that we have in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's where we are. So now it's for us to learn these things, to understand these things, and put these into practice.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what this is all about. So we'll try and go back to the last one. So Hebrews 3 and verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, right, this is, so Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. The scriptures are all down there, they're not always in full amount, so and this is where it talks about, it starts off as, this is why the Holy Spirit said, today, when you hear his voice, and it goes on to say, do not harden your hearts. This is talking about Israel. But today, God wants to speak to you. Remember that. It's not, well, I'm not really worthy, I'm not good enough. Forget that. Because Christ has paid everything, and if you're in Christ, Christ has done it all for you. So, you are made good enough in Christ Jesus. Yes, I understand when we come with our natural thinking, I'm not good enough, that's true. But because of Christ, he has made us good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's brought us into that new relationship with the Father. Because we go on to say that we may have heard the voice of God yesterday, and that was good. That was good for yesterday. But it is essential for us that we hear the voice of God today. We hear the voice of God in the church. We hear the voice of God in our own life, in our own family situation. And so this is what we need to realize, that God wants to speak to us, he wants to minister to us, and he wants to share his word with us. Now, 2 Chronicles, which is the Old Testament, chapter 7, and verse 14 starts off and it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from the heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's about us humbling ourselves, realizing that, yes, we're nothing, and I don't like this, doing this too often, emphasising that, oh, I'm just a wicked sinner saved by grace. I'm not a sinner, and I am saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm saved in Christ mm-hmm. Jesus, and you know, I emphasise that quite a lot, because you can come out with a guilt complex, you can come out with such a negativity that negates you being able to hear God, because you say, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough. Who are you to make that decision? I know you are. And I'm not saying it because you say it, because a lot of people say that. A lot of people have that thought implanted into them. When, even as Christians, as we journey out on our journey, we will make a mistake, we will do something wrong, and guess what? The devil jumps on it and begins to use that and says, see, you're not good enough, are you? See, you failed again, didn't you? And he works on these things to negate faith. Because when your faith is running and rising, the enemy is actually running in retreat. You see, we're pushing him back. So faith has to come up and push back. So this is where we're at. The Church of Jesus Christ has got to rise in faith. It's not rising in faith, it's just rising in sort of praise and worship, singing songs. But faith has to come, you see. You don't need faith to sing some songs, do you? You know, you can sing them, get a catchy tune and that's it. They're all happy catchy tunes and they're all going okay, it's fine. But faith pushes. Faith faces the hard things. Yesterday we were doing some metal. And prime example, you know, cheap metal, and it was hard to drill. I broke a drill, snap lock, snap that. It's only a thin piece of metal, and I'm drilling away, and you could hear it. But I had to be careful because I didn't want to go through into the woodwork up really, really deep. So I had to listen to the sound of the drilling, and then suddenly the pitch changed, and I thought, I'm on the edge of breakthrough. I'm on the edge of breakthrough, so I can ease the pressure off and be ready to pull back, because I didn't want to punch a hole in the wood, because that would be, it'd come out the other side, because the wood's not too thick, so that wouldn't look good, would it? So I'd have to put something on it. So we need, in faith, to push through, and you will get that if you'll hear a different sound. When you are begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you begin to pray, you'll hear a different sound. You'll hear victory. You'll hear triumph. You'll hear God moving. The angels doing warfare. So we have got to move forward with God. We've got to believe God. God's intent intends to move His church on His terms and not on ours.
Yes.
God, do this. God, I need you to do this or else. Don't try that one. You see, you don't know what is a week in front of you. We can plan, we do make plans, don't we? And we try and plan, but sometimes, many times, it changes. And you think, oh, alright. But God has already got before us. And we have to realise that. And then in the Old Testament, and I love this verse, the scripture of Zechariah, where it talks about chapter 4 and verse 6. It's not by might. You know, so often we think, oh yeah, we'll do this in our own strength. It's not by might. It says it's not by power. But it says it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. Now remember, we said God is Spirit. God is not a body. God does not work in the same way that we operate. God is Spirit. And our relationship has to be that As we're born again, our spirit is born again. Our flesh is not. You look in the mirror, oh, I look any different than yesterday. Apart from your countenance can change. I told you a story of a French lady. We were in a church where she was really sort of depressed and downcast and by demonic forces. In a meeting, she just began to manifest. We prayed with her, God delivered her. The next day, she went out shopping and people were saying, there's something different about you today. What is it? And she came back 2 days later and said, it's unbelievable. People looked at me and could see that I was different. These are non-believers. So this is the power of God at work and the power of the Spirit of God working in a person's life and setting them free from bondage. Because so often the world operates on bondage. People like to control people. Even the sun sets free.
Yeah.
It's free indeed. And you know, we may not quite get it right here at times because we like to give some freedom. With a, you know, we try and also put a few guidelines in, but we try to have that freedom because we need the freedom of the Holy Spirit. We need the freedom of God to move amongst us. And sometimes it can be difficult to strike that balance, shall we say. It's an interesting operation. Some people abuse it, hey, but we try and be sure that we're working in the right direction with the Lord. So if we look at Luke in the New Testament, Luke 11 and verse 1, and this is where it all starts, where one of the disciples says, Lord, teach us how to pray. So they've been with Jesus quite a while. Jesus takes them at times up the mountain, pulls them to one side, and says, we're going to pray. And they're all like, yeah, okay. We've been in the synagogue, and you know, we pray. We've taught the scriptures, and we do some sort of praying, but they hear Jesus, and he's praying differently. There's something about his prayer life that is personal with God, whereas theirs is just reciting something that really to them doesn't have, it's just cold, there's no response. And so here, one of the disciples says, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so then we come to the fact where Jesus actually then uses the Lord's Prayer and says, and teaches them the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And this is part of the what we're going to minister into today. So we find that as we look at these scriptures, that Jesus, through his prayer life, is able to do signs, wonders, and miracles. Because all signs and wonders and miracles are out of, I believe, a relationship with God the Father. Because it's him who has the power, him who has the authority, and he designates and shares his power and authority through his disciplined followers, his disciples. And so, again, it's very much relationship, not just attending a church service. It's not come once a week, twice a week, and get your fix, and you're okay. It's a 24/7 walk with the Lord, talk with the Lord. You know what I mean? Grace and I are coming up to be married 50 years, and if we only spoke once a week, or twice a week, what sort of marriage was that? Not a very good one, I'll tell you. So it's a marriage is about communication, and through Jesus Christ, we're married into God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And so it's a relationship, it's a conversation constantly, backwards and forwards. And people find it's mind-blowing because they've never heard this before, they've not been taught this before. They've been taught the Lord's Prayer, but you just recite it, don't you? And that's it. So what? We haven't been taught what is behind it all. The power that is in there that is couched in terms which are quite simple, but nobody's looked behind to see. And so this is what we want to do. So let's move on to the next part, where Jesus comes to cleanse the temple. Now this is part of our life. Jesus comes into our life to cleanse this temple. You are the temple of God. Right? You're not just an ordinary body, but you are a temple of God. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Word tells us. And so in Matthew chapter 21 and verses 12 through to 16. Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 16. It's on your sheets as well. All the scriptures I will use today will be in the study notes for you, so that you can look back as well later and see what's been said as well. and this is where Jesus comes in and he clears the temple. And so Jesus enters the temple and begins to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers. He said to them, "The scripture declares, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and teachers of the religious law, saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus replied, "Haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say, you have taught children and infants to give you praise." So we have to realize that God, Jesus at this time, is going in and he's demonstrating what the church should be, what the temple should be, and what it was basically. People, because they brought animal sacrifices, they were there. We'll get in on this. There's a market here, isn't there? They'll sell them. And so they're selling animals. Well, they haven't got the right currency because Jerusalem was a busy place with different nationalities coming and going. We had money changers, you know, like we do in town when we're going abroad on holiday. They've got money changers. It's like, okay, yeah, animals. And they were cheating as well. And this was it. So Jesus came in, the Son of God comes in, and righteousness, indignation, and he just starts turning over tables and throwing things all over the place, and it's causing a real kerfuffle. And he's saying, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And that's what we need for each and every one of us. And the house of prayer. The same changes should be taking place within the church, should be taking place within our lives as an individual, right? That God is entering into us and taking over our lives step by step. You know, I often say our lives are likened to the temple with many rooms, and we've got stuff stashed away. And suddenly one day the Lord appears again and he opens a room door and says, "No, what you got hiding in here? Oh, I thought we didn't need to deal with that, Lord." Well, we do now. Oh, right. And so then we get a bit stirred up and we start thinking we're not really worthy. We are. All it is God is going through us and he's preparing us and he's cleaning our temple so that more of God can fill every part of our lives. And anybody who says, "Well, when you say that's if it's all over and done in one shot," it's not. Because I haven't met anybody that's suddenly become totally godly and holy, and because if they were, they'd not be on earth. They'd be that perfect, they'd be taken up just like Elijah got taken up, and Matthew's Enoch, who walked with God and was not. He got to that stage where he'd gone so far in his relationship with God, God said, "No point in going back. Come on." And he took him. Mind blowing, isn't it? But I believe that is for today's generation. No, you're not perfect, but we're on the journey. We're coming to that point of absolute total perfection in Christ Jesus.
We're in the third day.
In his presence, that's right. We're in the third day. That is something else we'll teach on another time, about the third day. But in that third day, we are to live in God's presence, right? And so living in his presence means there's that relationship. And so it's important that we develop our personal relationship, our corporate relationship with God, so If you develop your personal relationship, then when we come together, there's that corporate relationship, and the presence and power of God begins to flow, and signs, wonders, and miracles are produced through that corporate relationship in a terrific way within the church. So it's important. Next part is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Quite a few scriptures to deal with, which is basically confirming that Paul's saying, "Know ye not that ye are a temple, and the Spirit of God dwells in you." So the word there is saying, you must realize that you are the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit, we talked about the week, that being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I hope you just continue to pray and ask the Lord to fill you, to overflow, that you begin to be filled and speaking in tongues and praising the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, in whom ye are built together. Are being built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So you've been built up, you've been encouraged, you've been put together, and in this putting together, it's so that God can come and have it, spend time with you, dwell with you, be very present in you, you see. Because Jesus said to his disciples, we talked about the other week, that being filled with us, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit, till you are filled with power. Endued with power. I think filled is maybe a bad word to use. It's that you are endued with power, because there is a constant filling that is going on. So you can't be filled, you can be being filling. God is filling you daily, because we leak. We let some of the power out when we pray for people, so it leaks a little bit. We use some of it up, like driving a car, so we need to keep popping into the petrol station. Well, we need to keep popping into God's petrol station of the Holy Spirit and be filled and be topped up always. And that in that being filled, you're flowing out and you're ministering into people's lives. And so it's important. One of our highest callings, and so often people do it, the highest calling is to preach the gospel up on a platform to minister up there. No, it's not. The highest calling is the calling of ministry of prayer. You see, Jesus always went and prayed. When Jesus was under pressure, when Jesus was feeling weary, he would say, "We went to the mountain to pray." He got away from the crowds. There were thousands of people following him. There were thousands of people demanding his time, demanding his attention, and he just said, he knew that he got weary with all of this. And so he would draw himself away so that he could spend that quiet time, that personal time with his Heavenly Father. And remember, Jesus was the Son of Man at that time. So he lived and breathed just like you and I. Amen. And so what he was doing there today, we can do also. Mm. There's no difference. Mm. So think, wow, that's mind-blowing, isn't it? But that is what it's about. So we need to follow the life of the Lord Jesus. At the beginning of his ministry, we read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Says there, and in the morning rise up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. In other words, he got his time on one side. He got a time where he could rise up early and he would leave the others snoring away, then he would go and pray. He would have and That word prayer, really, we should probably use the word, he had a conversation with his father. He spent time communicating with his father. That's what prayer is, it's conversation, it's communicating. And like I said to you about Terry, you know, he just went in and within 5 minutes he said, God, you've got to do something about this. It's the best you've got for me. And then all of a sudden, you know, boom, within minutes, God's doing it. And Terry, you know, as Terry's telling me, his face is lit up, you know. It was great to see it, actually, that, you know, he prayed and there'd been an answer. And it was there was an excitement which I've not seen in him for quite some time. And so I was like, praise God, you know. So that's great. So prayer does things. Prayer works in a wonderful way. And sometimes it doesn't exactly work how we think we want it to work, but it works and brings us the victory. There's always victory in Christ Jesus. God is not out to punish you. Okay? Get that into your mind. Get that into your psyche. Get that into your mindset. God is not out to punish me. The devil is. But if I stay in the kingdom, in the things of God, God will cover me, protect me, and lead me through. He will allow certain times, situations to attack us maybe, and to test us, but he's going to give you the strength to go through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, the most important word in that is, I'm going through. I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to dwell there. I'm not going to build a house. I'm not going to have a holiday there. I'm just passing through. And we pass through that. So that as we pass through, we've passed through and we come out in victory. So this is what you've got to keep up. Don't focus on the difficulties so much, but focus on the one who delivers out of difficulties. The one who sets the captives free. We focus on him, not on direct and with difficulties. Because if you focus on the problem gets bigger. Well, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to do that? And then your mind starts working, and then you go to bed with the same problem, and you don't get any sleep, and the next thing gets bigger and bigger, until it becomes so overwhelming, and in that time, we've forgotten to pray. Because we've worried. And the Bible says, cast all your care, cast all your worries upon God, because God cares for Shirley. God cares for John. Okay, it's the grace of God, and so on. So God cares for you. So you have to say, okay, God cares for me. He's going to deal with this. I just got to keep trusting. And when in your trusting, you start to give him thanks and praise. All of this is part of what we're going to get through. Praise God. In the middle of his ministry, we read in Matthew 14 and verse 23. I'm rushing this because I'm trying to get. Make sure we get through this. It says, and when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. So I'm just going to emphasize that point. Jesus putting himself on one side. All these scriptures there are directing us to what the Lord is doing, his principles. If Jesus did it, we should be doing it. Okay? If Jesus did it, we can do it. And we ought to be trying to do it and just following his footsteps.
Amen.
Hebrews 7 and verse 25. This is Jesus, the ministry of Jesus in heaven. He's interceding on our behalf. Wherefore, it says, he is able to also save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him through Jesus, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them. So Jesus is actually before the throne of God now. And he's saying, Lord, you see Shirley's situation, you see Ava's situation, and he's bringing them because you bring these to Jesus, and Jesus is your advocate, he's your lawyer, he's the one who stands before God and pleads your case, makes intercession for your case to be dealt with. Right? And God listens to his son.
Yeah.
And Jesus listens to you.
Yeah.
So you press into these things and you believe these things and you act upon these things. and believe God to do a great work in your life. You see, the Holy Spirit desires a birth in you. Prayer is birthed in you. And that we, as disciples, we obey, we move in that prayer life, and we develop our prayer life, because we've not really been taught to pray. Let's be honest. We're not taught, you know, pray to God, for that point, how do you pray? And then you leave it all mystical and, you know, just pray. Yeah, but what's prayer? So we're trying to break that down. Bring that point. It's this conversation, it's this love relationship you can have with the Lord Jesus. Because that's what it is. It's a love relationship. We, the church, are married to the, well, we shall be married to the Lord Jesus. We're his bride, he's coming round. See, that's the exciting thing. And so the church is God's gift to his son Jesus. Think about that. The church is God's gift to his son Jesus for coming and dying for the sins of whole humanity. And for that price, that he gave up all of heaven and all his rights, and God says, but I'm going to give you the church for that. Wow. Some of us look at the church and think, dear me, what a lousy gift that is. Well, come on, you know, let's be part of this glorious bride, because a bride never comes looking like a tramp, does she? No, when she walks in, everybody goes, wow, look at that dress, look at that tiara she's wearing, look at them flowers, you know, everything about her is shining and glorious. Everybody goes, whoa, every eye is turned. Even the angels will go, wow, we've never seen anything like this. That's what's going to happen. And we've got to press into these things. Praise God. I'm setting the stage with things now in this sort of sense. So, God wants to move in power in our lives. I've said this before. And he wants you and I to develop this continual relationship. I'm not going to read the rest of those scriptures because time is pressing. But you need to, when you get home, just read this through again. Read the scriptures. And just look at it and think about it a little bit. Do your own bit of research on it. Do your own little bit of thinking and talking to the Lord about it. So, what you'll do is, when you've gone through that again, on page 3, there are study questions to go through. And what we'll do next week is that you'll have gone through it all and you'll have filled in these little blanks. Alright? And then we'll have a look at these little blanks next week. And see what answers you've got in those little blanks. Alright? So that's homework in one sense. Not difficult, but it's like, did you read your Bible? Have you looked at this and read it? So let's move on to page 4. And now we start on the first part of what we're going to call like the running track, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. For our lives. And when the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray, Jesus started when he says, our Father, our, not my Father. That's important. That little word is very important. Because if Jesus had started off and said, my Father who art in heaven, now the disciples could say, oh, what about us? Isn't he our Father? So we're praying to somebody who we don't really know, it's just somebody that Jesus made it. No, our Father is your Father. He's the Father to those that have never had fathers. Wow. So he said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That word hallowed means to worship. And so the first part of our prayer time, as we read the Lord's Prayer, and as we read our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, this is where we start with a time of worship. This is our beginning, that our prayer time is started and emphasized in worship. So many people pray and they think it's, I'm just, they pray like they're going to the supermarket. I've got my list, and they go out and they go out shelves and pick up a bit of cash, still pay for it and leave. And that's as much as they want to do with supermarkets, which is understandable, I know what you're saying, but we can't treat God like that because He's not the supermarket. God is this relationship that we've talked about. So we worship Him for who He is, for what He's done, and His authority and power and His greatness. And again, this is where it comes in from Matthew 26 and verse 14, when Jesus, in His final hours, says to His disciples, well, let's go and pray. And he goes a distance away and he leaves them to pray. And He comes back. Roughly, He must have been gone about an hour. He comes back after an hour. Peter's snoring away. John's fast asleep with his feet up. Doubting Thomas is curled up in a ball, having a great dream, you know. And there they are, having a wonderful time. And Jesus comes and says, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Could you not pray just for an hour with me? Wow, what a challenge. You know, He warned them that there was something happening. He warned them that they needed to be growing. And so the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 9 through to 13. That's for you to look at later. And so we need to come to the place where we have an entrance to Father God. And we have an entrance to Father God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our opening. That's our cleansing. When the devil says, you're not worthy, when the devil says, you're not good enough, you point him to the cross, to the shed blood of Jesus, and said, my name's on that cross. Jesus took my sin. He shed His blood for me. He shed His blood for my name. And so, I'm on there. I die when He died. And I live when He lives.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So He rose again. So we live in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so we realize that, so this is a time to praise God. These are thoughts where you think, wow, you know, God set me free, God's delivered me, God's healed me. You might say, well, I'm not healed yet. In Christ, you're already healed. Now it's time for that healing to begin to manifest itself. And I know it's not taught well in churches. I keep saying this, but it needs to be taught. People's faith needs to get up and go and move, because it brings in life and health and wholeness and the blessings of God. And so, first of all, we praise Him. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we come into His presence, we come to the presence of God, and we start to praise God. We might sing a song of worship, of thanksgiving to God. Nothing wrong with that. You know, in moments like, you know, I love that song, in moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. You know, nothing wrong with that. And you begin to worship Him, and your mind's eye begins to see Him and to know His life eternal. And you begin to worship, and some of the good songs will lead you into His presence in such a wonderful way. And you just, you know, and you'll find yourself being enveloped by the presence of God. You know, we pray for people out there, and sometimes they feel an enveloping, don't they? But wow. I can feel it, and that's not something that should be occasional, but that should be something that we, as we enter into His presence, oh, I feel His presence. Lord, you're here, aren't you? Yeah, He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, not some of the time, but always. Praise God. And so we press through into that. There are other scriptures there. Come before Him in praises, it says. Psalm 22. So, serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness comes out of praise.
Yeah.
Gladness is when you begin to start praising God, the stress, the turmoil, the pressures of life are pushed off.
Yeah.
It's like lubricating yourself. When the enemy, these sumo wrestlers, don't they oil themselves up, and then when they try and grab hold of them, they can't grab, you know, it's like trying to grab hold of oil that's, you know, slipping out of the hands and so on. And so we need to be oiled up with the Holy Ghost. So when the devil thinks, oh, I'll get you, and he comes with his claws to dig it and grab hold of it, I missed him, where's he gone? You know, it's a bit like cartoons that we see all the kids, but this is the inference that the devil does not have a foothold. He doesn't have something to grab hold of. Because, and when we're in that praise, and, you know, there is power in praise. There's that song that we've sung occasionally, "It's Your Blood That Cleanses Me." And I put, actually in my notes, I put additional, "In moments like these." This has been it, I've done this years ago. And it's a song that I love, and it just brings, for me, it always brings the presence of the Lord. Well, we don't bring the presence, it brings me more into His presence, the sensitivity, it tunes me into knowing that, yeah, He's still there, He's not moved, I just did. So we need to move back, we need to adjust ourselves into His presence. And so, that's as we worship in the Father, we worship in Father God. Our Father who art in heaven, and we just begin to worship Him. And then we move on to hallowed be thy name. When God wishes to make a special revelation of Himself, He uses the name of Jehovah. Now this is the Old Testament, so we're going to look at this because there are some names of Jehovah that are still important to us today. That we can use in our lives. And there's a bit of a test for you to do later to shuffle things around. And so, but again, there's no failures, there are no passes. It's all about helping you grow and develop. And that's what it's about. So God wants to reveal Himself to us. That's why He sent Jesus, because Jesus was the one, actually, who reconnected us with God, because it was broken through sin. Again, Jesus has come to that point where He's bringing us back to the very beginning of Genesis, where God was in the garden talking to Adam and Eve. And so when Jesus comes, Jesus is now restoring the broken connection. You know, the line's been down. All you had that had really been hearing God were the prophets. They were anointed, the king and the high priest. Everybody else was, well, you just have to go through them. But in this new covenant, it is this restoration of the broken connection lines that were severed through sin. Sin was like a bolt dropper. And it came and it just chopped through the lines of communication and destroyed the relationship. And so now, Jesus is the one who's making all the new connections. He's put it all back together and said, now you talk to God. He's on the line now. Talk to Him. Have a conversation with Him. And it's just like that, what we've got to do. And so, you know, through Christ, we have forgiveness of sin, we have deliverance from sin and the dominion of sin, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We have the promise of health and healing, soundness, freedom from the curse, God bringing us into success, freedom from fear of death and hell. You see, there's a security in that. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. There are many people who don't know where they're going. I hear people say to me sometimes, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. Well, I know I'm going to heaven. You see, hoping that you're going is not an answer. What you're really saying is, I don't know. I don't know. Because, and they don't know because they don't know the Father. They don't know the Son, Jesus. And so we have to come to that point where we know that we know that we know. Because God's love is upon us. And so look, there we have the thing for sin, spirit, soundness, success, and security. Let's have a look. There are some names of God on page 5 that will deal with, first of all, the benefits from sin. And the first one is Jehovah's Tsikenu. And the meaning of that is Jehovah means God. God, our righteousness. He has made us right. He has made us in right standing with God the Father. Nobody else could do it. All the sacrifices that were offered, the blood sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament, wouldn't do it. They just covered sin. The blood of Jesus removed it. There's a massive difference. Because, you know, if somebody lifts the cover over sin, sin's still there. But when Jesus' blood comes over you, it removes it. You can lift as many covers as you want. It's still white. Spotless purity in Christ Jesus. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Jehovah Makedesh means God who sanctifies us. It's not what you've done. It's not what the preacher preaches. It's what God has done through Christ Jesus. God sanctifies you. So, you see, it takes all that off you. You just have to learn to live in this new life that God has prepared for you. The fullness of the Spirit, the benefits of the Spirit, Jehovah Shalom. See, when the Spirit of God and the Word of God indwells in us, it means Jehovah is our peace. He is our peace. Yeah, there's another song, another chorus that we sing. He is our peace. Who's broken down every wall. He's our peace. Sometimes, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, sometimes, not every time, you know, we don't operate as a formula, you know, if we say this, this, and this, then it works, you know, but there is a measure of the Word and the power of God. It's this relationship so much more, and in the sense that we're trying to bring and give glory to God. God is the one, it's not me. I'm just a wire, hopefully that's connected through Christ Jesus, and that the power of God is just flowing into people's lives and touching people's lives. That's a simple explanation. Spirit Jehovah Shammah. That means God is there.
Always.
Forever. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lord, I'm with you always. Jehovah is there. You know, soundness of heart and mind. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah God heals.
Yeah.
You hear preachers say, oh no, it's not for today. I'm glad to tell you this, it is for today. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Well, yesterday, Jesus, when he walked the earth, was healing people. So if he's the same yesterday, and today, he's healing people today, and tomorrow, he's healing people. So, some people say you oversimplify things. No, you overcomplicate things. That's my answer. Don't overcomplicate God. God can be complicated enough for himself, you know. You don't have to try and overcomplicate him. God is trying to make it so simple. Because he knows that our weaknesses are we are. The benefits of success. Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? Jehovah. God's provision shall be seen. God, when we are in need, God's provision shall be seen. And you call upon him. God, he said, your word says that you are my provider. Lord, I have a need. I'm bringing it to you now, Lord. I'm calling upon you. Father, meet my needs, provide for me. And as we do our part, God does his part. The benefits of security in God. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah is my banner. You know, when they used to go to war in the Old Testament, they carried banners. And, you know, when they used to go, the children of Israel, they used to take the Ark of the Covenant with them. Wherever the Ark went, you know, it was like wipe out. And so, we have to lift up the banner of praise and worship of God who he is, and realize that the power of God works and changes things, and it brings us, it keeps us secure. These, some of these names, they They're coming together. They're always running things running in two, shall we say, tying together. And again, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it starts off, the Lord is, not might be, not could be. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, we've done that with last week with putting our names in. The Lord is Andrew's shepherd. Nothing wrong with that. Because that's what it's really saying. And so you need to maybe at times say, oh, hey, just a minute, just walk. Let's look at this. The Lord is Andrew's shepherd. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then you know, suddenly you get begin to well, because you're testing me. He's my shepherd. My name is on his heart. My name is written in the palm of his hand. Wow. Lord is Andrew's shepherd. And Andrew shall not want. Wow. You know, in there, it's there that Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Andrew shall not want. Says Jehovah Jireh. You can see where it goes. And you know, you can read some of the stuff and you can look and put things in and think, wow, this is God talking to me, talking to you as an individual. And so,
you know,
I can
see
this as a provider. These
are
covenants.
Yeah.
These are the covenant names of God.
Everyone has
still applies. It's a covenant relationship. No, but what you need to remember, you don't necessarily need to remember the Jewish names, but you need to remember the translations of them. Jehovah, God, my shepherd. If you turn to page 6, right, this is where you're going to have the questions to answer later on. And so what I want you to do is just look at that for a minute. And I jumbled them up, right, in that, on the Hebrew side from the translation, because what I want you to do is to go back and, right, for instance, on the left-hand side where it says Jehovah's a king, you put number 1. Yeah? Beside it. And then you say, what is the meaning of Sikinu? What does it mean? And so you look down the right-hand side column and you find which is number 1. And put number 1 at it. It's just to really get you to think a little bit and to, oh yeah. But what you need to learn is, let's go back to page 5. What you need to remember, because these are important, these are the covenant relationship that God has with us, that God is your righteousness. God is God who sanctifies you. God is your peace. God is always there. God is your healer. God shall provide for you, and his provision shall be seen. God is my banner. He's my protector.
Yeah.
You know, this was the victory saloon. This is the protector. And Jehovah, my shepherd. The shepherd always protected his sheep. And always will. And so, these are the things that, yes, remember those. Not necessarily the Hebrew names, but the meanings of the names, which is easier for you to understand. But I'm just showing you that, historically, the children of the Old Covenant had these promises, and yet, they didn't use them effectively. They forgot the promises and the blessings of God. And so in Christ, these blessings are still available to us. And so we need to just bring those in. And so
basically, the of all these promises, of all these covenant relationships that we have with God. And he does it through getting us into fear. If we get into fear, then the devil has got power over us, and we can't. Even though God has a good position, fear will make you a good position. And if you get into fear, you can't be in faith. Faith and fear are two opposites. And the only weapon the devil has got to try and hinder what God is actually doing is to get you afraid. If you get you afraid, then you've got to lose fear, and faith goes out for you. God is saying, do. He's always saying, fear not.
Amen. So on page 7 of the notes, that's the prayer outline, the first 10 minutes of prayer. And, you know, it says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Straight away, you've got Jehovah, my righteousness. Thank you, Lord, you've made me righteous. Thank you, Lord, you've made me into somebody special and that relationship. Thank you, Lord, that you sanctified me. There's nothing wrong in that. You know, people think, well, is that for? Yeah, of course it is. Because the Bible says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Yeah.
So, God, you know, the expectancy is that God's created me, you're going to give thanks to him. And so you say, you know, thank you, Lord. And then you make your faith declaration, right? And hallowed is thy name. Lord, I thank you for my peace. You know, the benefits of the Holy Spirit in your life, bringing peace. That God is always there, that you can always talk to him. You see, the high priest had to prepare himself. A very strict preparation before he could enter into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies to talk to him. Today, you know, just where you sat right now, you start talking to God. Whoa. What a vast difference in experiences. Amazing. Because it's all been done in Christ. And so you can do that. Health and healing, soundness. You know, Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Make your faith declarations. Lord, I'm not well today, but Lord, I believe your word. That Lord, you are the healer. You're the one who has set me free.
Yeah.
And I believe, Lord, that now by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, and that God, that you are that healer for my life, I receive it in the name of Jesus, and I declare it into my body, and I command my body to come in line with your word.
Yeah.
Wow. Can I do that? Well, yeah, do it. See it happen. Page 8, benefits of fourth benefit, freedom from the curse, success. Hallowed is thy name, Jehovah Jireh, God's provider. You see, this is the power of the name. And so this you can use, and I've got a load of all the scriptures in there. Time's running out like crazy at the moment. So in what we're doing here, we're not taking the Lord's name in vain. We're taking the Lord's name and we're using it to its proper effect, to the fullness of its power and authority. And we need to do that. We need to say, I am going to do that. I am going to see God's name glorified in my life, through my life, and it's going to touch other people. And you know, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal areas in which you may be taking the Lord's name in vain. Some people do that, and we just go, oh, I don't need to do that. But let us submit to the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray, we're worshipping Him, we're making melody in our hearts unto God. And God loves to hear you rejoicing. Of course it is. You know, the Bible tells us to sing songs to the Lord and to worship Him in, worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in Ephesians it tells us, you know, some of us, you can come to church, one brings us a song to sing, one brings a psalm to read, one brings a prophecy, that type of thing. That, you know, I've been spending time with the Lord and He gave me this song to sing. He reminded me of a song and I just felt I needed to bring it. This is, you see, what we're trying to bring people to understand is that it shouldn't always come from the platform. The church has got itself into this function that everything flows from the platform. And it doesn't. And it never did. But we got to that pitch for some reason. But now we've to reverse this. A good number of years ago, beginning of the century, there was a movement called the Latter-day Saints. And what would happen is they'd come to church and then suddenly somebody would start to sing in the spirit. And somebody else on the side of the congregation would stand. And suddenly they'd all begin to come together and they'd begin to worship God in the spirit. And the Holy Spirit began to move. Somebody would bring a word. And we've seen a measure of this historically. But then people get afraid because there's always a structure. And people think there's a measure of safety in rules.
I mean, there's times when you've been up there and you've been praying, and I've been quite clingy and tempting, and I thought, I should start singing.
And this is why sessions like this are good. That you hear, we try to get people to hear where we're going, where we've been. For instance, you know, like Grace last Sunday, during the time of praise and worship, brought a word, didn't she? Thing is that you'll not find many churches that will make space during the time of praise and worship for somebody to get up.
That's how it used to be.
I know, that's how it used to be. That's how it was. That's how it should be. But it's a body ministry. Mm-hmm. Right?
I pray to God.
Which is what you should.
Yeah.
You see, let me explain it like this. Now, we're off topic in one sense, so that's okay. We've basically finished, because the rest is up to you, okay? To work through this, through the week, and then come back. I can add more scriptures if you want next week and see how we go, just to help a little bit more. But we want to move on, hopefully, to the second part of the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, we can do some question and answers at different stages, all right? You can always write a question down and say, I've got a question, okay? Which is, and we'll try and answer them. But, yeah, I mean, trying to sort of bring the church where each and every one of us should be during the week on our own developing a relationship with God. Hearing things from God, talking to God. As we read our Bible, we're talking with God. Right? That's what it is. Reading your Bible is talking with God. reading your Bible gives God the opportunity to say, hey, look at this. You might think I'm being a bit disrespectful, but I'm not, because literally this is what's happened to me. I've been reading scripture and the Lord said, no, you're not reading it right. All right, of course I am. I mean, the crime, one of the most challenging ones was, it was a December month, and I was reading Matthew 6:33, and as I was reading through, I was doing what I tell people not to do. I was quietly speed reading, you know, and I tell you, read it out loud, because it's better. It goes into your mind, it goes into your soul. And so yeah, here I was, quietly just reading through the Matthew chapter 6, and I got to verse 33. And in this translation, this is the Bible today, the New Living Translation. And it says, they seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. That's about as weak as we can get. Which is why I really struggle with some of these new translations. I really. And I could go back. Oh, go on.
But see, versus kingdom, uh-huh. Righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
That's close to the kingdom. It's close to the King James, New King James, but, and I'm going to say this, and you don't have to do this, but one of the most accurate translations is the New American Standard, or even the New Revised Standard, Those are very much in with each other, run together. And I know I've preached on this before, but I'm just going to do this as an example for you today. Matthew 6:33, and obviously I was reading from this translation. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the Lord said to me, that's not what I said. Hold on. That's what it says. So I read it again. First of all, he said to me, that's not what it says. So I read it again. I said, it is. And he said, that's not what I said. So I read it again out loud. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And God said to me, it's not what I said. So I said, okay, so what did you say? So, well, you know, if he's chatting with me, I might as well find out what he said. And he said to me, he said, what should be there is, seek ye first the King. You see, when you read this, it said, seek ye first. If you read the King James, it says, seek ye first the kingdom. That's a thing. A place. Yeah? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then he goes and says, and his, now we're just going into a person, righteousness. That's a little bit of, we're seeking the kingdom, now we're just going to a person. They don't fit together. And so God said to me, so that's not what you should say. It should say, seek ye first the kingdom of the kingdom and his righteousness, then all of these things will be added unto you. And I thought, I understand it now. Because everybody is saying, you need to be in the kingdom. I'm living in the kingdom. I've never met one. She don't know me. I really don't know it. Right? Well, God is saying in the New Testament, seek ye first a relationship with the King. kingdom of God, and His righteousness, then all these things will be added. You see, people are seeking the kingdom. The wise man out of God. He's seeking the kingdom. They were looking for a king. Well, they didn't say, we come to seek the kingdom. They were looking for the king. And today, people are looking for the kingdom. They talk about, oh, you know, we're living in the third day, which we are. You talk about, you know, kingdom living. What about kingship living? Living in relationship with the king, not the kingdom. Because I'll tell you, if you don't know the king, you don't have any right in the kingdom. Yes? You know? This is where I'm sort of saying to you, sometimes God will say, see it from this side. And I've often said the word is like a diamond. Turn it around and somebody goes, wow, something comes out of it. Whoa, Lord, show me something beyond what I've been taught. Show me something different. Just this word is a living word. And it's powerful. And so when you look at this, just that scripture on its own, and we've not talked about something now. But when you're looking at this, seek ye first the King of the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. So again, it's about seeking Jesus first. Not seeking a place. If you know Jesus, you'll have the place. You don't need to seek for that. It'll be there automatically, because He said to us where, you know, He told us that He was going to prepare a place for us. So the thing we need to do is to know Him, so that we can then get to the place where He's preparing for us. But so many people are looking for the place and not for the King. You see, the Christian walk, the being a disciple, is about a one-to-one relationship with the King. It's all about relationship, not about attendance-ship. Right? And that's what you've got to get in life, this relationship. And when you've got this relationship, you come together in church, and you're filled at home already with an anointing, and you're like, I've got this. and you pour it in. And somebody else comes in and says, you should see what God's going to do this week. And it gets poured in. And there's an excitement of that corporate anointing of the Spirit of God beginning to work amongst us. And we're like, bring it on, Lord. Bring some more, Lord. And you think, we're going to bathe in this anointing. We're going to flow in this anointing, because God is speaking by His Spirit. Not to one person, but to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have a personal relationship. We're not seeking the kingdom. We're seeking the King. Because you can seek the kingdom and never find the King. Never see the King. You have to find it's all in that personal relationship. When we lead somebody to Christ, we're leading something into a personal relationship, aren't we? We're not leading them to the kingdom of God. We don't want to say, come on, I introduce you to the kingdom of God. What all that? We say, let me introduce you to the kingdom. Jesus. Lord and Savior of our lives. And we introduce them to Jesus. Everything else follows up. But the most important thing is, and the thing that keeps us going day by day, is the relationship we have with Jesus. Not with the kingdom. The kingdom is an inanimate thing, shall we say.
Yeah.
Right? But the King is living, breathing, and powerful. And the kingdom actually is you and I. Kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And the only time it can be a kingdom is when the King is in the center of the kingdom. Amen.